right, here we go. We're locked in. And then the intro music fades out.
That's indicative of how the show is going to go, I think.
check one, two. It's GloucesterCast 308. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 10 of us and maybe an 11th.
And right, Heidi's on her way.
If they decide to show up.
Heidi's on her way.
She's on her way. So we have 11 today. Post-Thanksgiving hangovers.
Yeah.
And so we got... Today, we've been beating it into people's heads that we appreciate when they bring food, when they're promoting things. And some people don't bring anything, but that's okay.
He's looking right at you, Scott. He's looking right at you.
I didn't know.
No, it's okay. It's all right. That's fine. But we do have a wealth of gifts this morning that we'd like to discuss.
We do.
Brought the powdered... apple cider donuts
From Russell Orchards. They're apple cider donuts, but then you warm them up and you put the powdered sugar on them when you get home.
Fantastic. Catherine Ryan, homemade pecan pie that she did not drop this time.
It's beautiful. Very nice.
Chris brought the coffees. I brought the ricotta pie. Am I missing anything?
Yes.
Ken brought the stogies.
Yeah.
Kim's from Hugh. You can do that legitimately now. We're not going to get you in trouble, right? Kim has been talking every podcast for like the last 6 months how she wanted some Cubans to smoke.
There you go. They're all yours, Kim. Let's spark them up right now.
Spark them up. We'll smoke everybody out.
Did you go to Cuba?
I did.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Ooh. Really? Yeah. Just got back from Cuba.
Yeah. Those are direct. Those are direct from Havana.
Jeez.
Wow. So, all right. Well, I guess we have to talk about this now.
Do you want to introduce first, or you want to go?
Let's go around the room.
Okay.
Good morning, Gloucester. It's Ralph.
Carrie from the chamber.
Ken from the chamber. Good morning, Joe. Happy birthday.
Kim.
Hi. Good morning.
Catherine. Good morning.
Pat. Good morning, Gloucester.
Scott from Gloucester Stage Company.
Good morning, Gloucester.
That's Kim, and I'm your host, Joey Shimitar. Heidi Dallin will be with us shortly.
Kim promises. Havana.
What? Okay. All the places in the world. What was in your mind that you wanted to go to Havana?
Well, first of all, Cuba hasn't changed in about 60 years, and it's about to, because there's a lot of money going in. It's still very tightly controlled by the government, as you probably know. There's actually a new president there, so. Mm-hmm. It was led by the Castros for 60 years, since 1959, when the revolution ended. They have a new president, and it's still, you know, very much a government-led, owned society. But there's a lot of tourists there now. And so you're going to see some slow change over time, and I think that'll pick up. So we wanted to see it while it was still kind of in the way it's been. Which is so interesting, because Cuba basically has not developed in the last 60 years. The original buildings are still there pre-revolution. They're, of course, they're driving the very similar cars. The American classic cars are there. There's some imports, but there's a lot of visitors there now, which is so interesting, including a lot of U.S. visitors.
Mm. I thought you were going to announce Gloucester had a new sister city in Havana.
Did you try the Cuban sandwich?
I did. I tried the Cuban sandwich. We tried the Cuban cigar.
What was your takeaway?
It's a beautiful place. It's a fascinating place because it really is kind of steeped in the past. It's 60 years old without a lot of change. Beautiful buildings right next to abandoned buildings, and the local population is pretty impoverished. You know, they're not making a lot of money. We stayed in Old Havana, which is a very beautiful part of the city.
Do you feel safe?
We felt safe most of the time. There are a lot of side streets in Old Havana, some of which are not as common for tourists, which we spent some time walking around at night, and they're dark.
Yeah.
We hear that the crime rate is very low there, but of course nobody's reporting on it, so you don't really know.
Yeah.
It's the way it should be in America.
Did you go at all to, because they have like coral reefs there.
We didn't do any of that kind of sightseeing. We were there for 5 days. Okay. Yeah. So we did get out into the country with the guide, and we went to visit one of the tobacco farms. That's where we got the cigars
from.
That's
cool.
I went to a tobacco factory, which all of the businesses, especially the bigger ones, are state-owned. So the tobacco factory was state-owned. And just interesting statistic, they're all still made by hand in Cuba. And in each, there's 25 factories, and each factory they do 25,000 cigars a day by hand.
Uh-huh.
And so they just have these big rooms of people sitting at these stations rolling tobacco leaves into these various kinds of cigars.
What do you think their biggest market is?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Certainly cigars is pretty big.
They do. Do they have a rum trade there?
Yeah, they do. Yes. The I think that the visitor business is actually probably the biggest or one of the biggest businesses.
Yeah.
They had two big cruise ships right in Havana when we were there, and most of the visitors were going around on guided tours. So we went just as a family, and we kind of did it ourselves. And we had tour guides, which took us outside of the city, but around Havana, we were just doing our own thing, which was fun. You have a lot of freedom, and we felt safe, especially during the daytime. There was no issue at all.
What a scene! Remember that iconic scene from The Godfather?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When he kisses Fredo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Want to recreate that for me?
Ken, did you go to galleries?
Fredo.
We went to a couple galleries, and there's a part, there's a little town just outside of Havana,
mm-hmm.
and I'm forgetting the name of it now, but it's like Fuslandia. They have, it's all mosaic tile. And so this artist has basically transformed this town and his house in particular into one big mosaic kind of theme land.
That looks great.
And it was really fascinating to see. It was also about 90 degrees and 80% humidity, so it was very hot and uncomfortable. But it was really interesting to see that. And the art over there is very nice. So we spent some time in the galleries. And of course, the music there is terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's music playing everywhere. And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it was Thanksgiving. Heidi just joined us. Hi, Heidi. No one heard that.
Hello, how are you?
Okay,
I was saying hello to Scott. I haven't seen him for a while.
All right. Well.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Heidi.
This is a good crew. I'm glad I made it.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it, too. Thanksgiving. I just want to talk. So we had our first Thanksgiving at our house.
And was it wonderful?
It was wonderful. And so first thing I want to say, I was so proud of Kate, the way she handled, there was 20 of us.
Wow.
And she handled her business, and she did not have any meltdowns,
oh my goodness,
which was awesome. And
kudos on her.
And so we had this long table, and we planned on eating at 3:30, and I had told Chris and told Ralph, I said, come over, around 6,
yeah.
And after we had eaten,
right,
we'll watch
football
and drink.
Right.
And
what time did they show
up? So 6 o'clock, they show up, like I said, Chris showed up, and we were probably 2/3 of the way through the meal. And Kate's dad is he's a routine guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't like to be outside of his routine. And so Chris comes in boisterous.
No, really?
Right. And the family started coming in, and it was just like a clown car where they just kept coming. And so the foot of the big long, big room, and the table's going this way, the door is this way. They just kept filing in. We're running out of room, filing in. 19 people shows up, and Chris, and I look, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I have panic stricken, because Kate's father, knowing he doesn't like dinner, he had a stone look on his face. I could see he was vibrating inside, like, he's fucking up my holiday. This guy's fucking up my holiday. And so Felicia, immediately being a great host, hops up, grabs the women, brings them into the kitchen. What can we get you for wine? Try to get everybody a drink and stuff like that. And Kate says, you can go downstairs. And like immediately, Chris picked up on the like, this is awkward thing. I'm just trying to get like everybody a drink and maybe to get them downstairs so that Kate's father doesn't lose his mind. So fast forward 3 minutes. No, it all ends well. It all ends well.
A big fist fight.
So then, and Chris had his holiday pants on, which were fabulous velour, green and red velour candy cane striped pants. But within 2 minutes, Chris had everybody at the table charmed and laughing hysterically, and it turned out to be probably a more memorable holiday than it ever would have been had they didn't show up, because it was just hysterical. Even Kate's dad actually enjoyed their company, which was
the moral of the story is next time call ahead. I figured
it was awesome.
We'd surprise you.
And shortly thereafter, Chris, they leave. Joe sends me a text. Ralph, the McCarthys are on the move. My wife and I shut all the lights off in the house. They pretend that we're sleeping.
And we did pass your house, and it was dark. We went to the Lafayette's.
Ended up at the Lafayette's.
Did anybody have any Thanksgiving stories? Jimmy, well, you were away. You were down at Disneyland for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Disney World. Yeah, down in Florida. I was with a band down there that was parading through Disney. So I was the tour guide that was sending them through, and it was cool that the kids got a chance. They gave up their Thanksgiving, you know, to go down there and parade, and that meant a lot of the kids. Mm. It's really crazy backstage in Disney, you know, sign away so many things, and they guard you and wall walk you and check things because you're not supposed to look at things back here, and you know, look straight ahead. Don't look at the man behind that curtain.
Really? So what was interesting to me was I saw on Facebook, I think, that Pat was all excited that you brought her back a collection of 6 or so Disney figurine pins.
Yeah, what's happening is she loves pins.
Pins. Well, we have to set this up. She's a retired school teacher that collects Disney pins.
Yes, well, Disney villain pins.
Disney villain pins in particular.
In particular.
They all have a message.
Yeah,
every pin has a message, and she likes to wear.
And I would wear the pin that reflected my mood on the day and how people around me should respond.
And the kids knew, the staff, the principal, the superintendent—they all knew.
So, like Ursula was for a day that the octopus was for a day when I knew I had a lot going on and I needed extra arms. And today I have Roz on, one of my new Roz pins from Monsters, Inc.
Nice.
And it says, always watching. And she says, just doing my job. So I would wear that on days when, you know, maybe I had to go around and knock on doors and ask questions nobody wanted to answer. Something like that, you know. So, yeah, I have a large collection of Disney pins, and most of them are villain pins. So I'm very excited. I'm always happy to get new ones. And I only get them from Disney World. I don't get them like on eBay or at a store or anything because they all bring memories. Yeah. And what's fun is sometimes if kids are going to go to Disney, I give them some money and I say, you bring me back some pins you think I'd like.
Oh.
And that's fun.
Great.
Yeah, and that's fun.
See, I thought I was crazy collecting Weber grills.
Yeah, well, these can fit in my drawer in my dresser.
Yeah, storage is easier. Kate might like that.
Yeah.
It's a better hobby.
Joe, you have my word that when I take a group to Chicago, coming back with a grill.
I like
you
the way
my word.
You're thinking.
Right from the factory.
I will take. I'll be there.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to. I took the girls. So I have this thing. So when I was growing up, none of the people in my family, you know, that were older than my generation had gone to college. So it's important for me to show the girls, that even though they go to, you know, Hamilton Wenham, and they know they're going to college anyway. But, like, I had no guidance. When I went to college, there was no guidance for what type of school to go to or what it's going to be like or anything like that. So I kind of wanted them to understand the different types of colleges and, you know, how great of an experience the college experience is. And so BC was playing Syracuse. I grew up being a BC fan, and my nephew goes to Syracuse, perfect opportunity to take him into a game. And they loved it. But the thing I wanted to point out was they have... it's ingenious what they do, because when I used to go to the Boston College games back in the early 90s, all like for 2 or 3 miles around BC, it was gridlock. It took you forever to get there. They have figured out how They have the satellite parking with buses. There was no traffic leading up to this to BC at all.
That's interesting.
And where we parked, so this I'm tying this back to Gloucester. Jim Davis had bought up like three or four blocks in Brighton, where they have the Celtics facility, where they the practice facility. It's all gorgeous office space and parking and he built his own tea stop. They as part of the deal to
as
let him
deal,
do this. So we drove in. It was a sad. So this what I'm saying is it's a great going to a Boston College football game is a great take. We got the tickets on StubHub for next to nothing. Drove in. There's no traffic on Saturdays. Basically getting into town, you go. You drive down Stour Drive. You get off Stour Drive. Drive basically a quarter of a mile, and you're turning into where the parking garage is for free.
Wow.
They have the buses set up right there. Take you straight
right, so you're
to,
not even,
to Boston
you're not
College
for the bus, right.
And the parking was free. There was you weren't paying $25, $30, $40
yeah,
to park
right.
in Boston.
Nice.
Got to see the game. Right. The bus takes you right back. You're out of the city.
Yeah.
It was painless,
yeah.
And it costs like next to nothing to get that big college football experience.
Yeah.
And the girls loved it, and Connor
right.
too. So,
right.
so Joe,
right.
when you say you grew up as a BC fan, you mean Bentley College?
No, I did not grow up as a fan. Even though we went there and I had a blast there.
Yeah,
I don't get to watch Boston, Bentley College on TV. Bentley University. So that's I always beat into my daughter's heads
yeah.
that, you know, firstly it's about education, but you have an
and
opportunity.
Second, it's drinking.
You have an opportunity to go to a school, a Division I school, where they have a good athletic program.
Yeah.
That after you graduate, it doesn't end. Like you get to watch your team if you go to one of these schools on television every week if they have a good football program, if they have a good basketball program, and
don't
that kind
hockey, Joe.
And hockey,
yeah,
that's right around here. Hockey, right?
That's probably the best team. And golf, their golf team is good too.
So that's why it's important. I want them to get the feeling for a good like a Division I atmosphere of
yeah.
for college and get
they
them
hit the nail on the head with that.
Well,
right?
And BC, it's not strange for you to be a BC fan because that was the Doug Flutie era. Everybody
yeah.
was a
yeah.
BC fan.
Just watching that.
We all know where we were.
Everybody
Flutie
remembers.
When
yeah.
through that
immaculate reception.
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Quickly.
No.
Who watched the game? Who
just
watched that game?
I was with Vito Mastrangelo on his living room floor watching that game.
I was with Russ and Rob at the Contemporary Hotel in Disney watching it in the hotel room.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That's funny. You
yeah.
like Vito?
Funny.
I was
yeah.
high school friends.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
So the following year after the Flutie to Phelan pass, like admissions to get into BC, it probably was tougher to get into Boston College than it was to get into
Harvard.
Yeah.
Like everybody wanted to go. I didn't even have the grades.
You mean the Harvard football team?
Yeah.
Well, although all the Harvard guys are running the Bruins now, so.
Harvard, Yale. So there's that. The Chamber, Kerry McKenna is here with Ken Reel, and there's a lot coming up. And we want to talk about some holiday happenings. Kerry, why don't you give us a rundown of what's happening?
Starting today, Santa's coming to Gloucester.
Oh,
Santa!
Makes his first appearance on Cape Ann.
That's right.
Yeah,
be the,
3 days
the
after
parade.
Thanksgiving.
I'm glad he waited until after Thanksgiving.
He was at Macy's.
Yeah, so he's going to be coming to Gloucester today. Next week, he'll be coming to Essex, the town landing on Friday, about 6 o'clock. And he's also in Manchester on Saturday this coming Saturday he'll be in Manchester and Rockport, so
that's
and then beyond that in Essex this week on the 29th is the lighting of the memory tree, and that's going to be right in front of the police station there in Essex. And again, Santa on Friday at 6, and we'll be doing the Essex rendition of the Chamber Holiday Party at the Wynwood Grill on December 5th.
Good spot.
And that's where we also will award the Clam Fest winners.
Oh,
so has that not been announced, who the winners are?
It's been announced, but
yeah,
they are officially recognized.
Who was the winner, by the way?
Soup.
Do you know of him?
And Wynwood Grill won both the Judges Award and the People's Choice Award.
I gotta say something about the Wynwood Grill. I don't get there often enough. And I don't order lobster out at restaurants. My birthday 3 years ago, I went with Kate to the Wynwood Grill. And I was craving a lobster pie, like lobster with the Ritz cracker crumb thing. And I ordered it as a treat to myself at the Wynwood Grill. And I think about it to this day all the time. It was so fantastic. I need to go back. Even though I can get lobsters relatively inexpensively, I can prepare them and I can make them pretty good. I crave that lobster pie. So
you do a good job.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
So that's Essex. In Gloucester, hopefully what will be a new tradition this year. We are doing the Gloucester Holiday Window Contest, and that kicked off yesterday. And this was Ken Hecht, the city councilor for the downtown area. This was his idea, and he worked together with the chamber, with the city, with the downtown association. And we've got, I think it's 74 different businesses that are involved with this.
That's tremendous.
And the idea was to light up Main Street and to just do a real kind of grassroots PR campaign through Facebook, social media, and get people, both residents and visitors alike, to come and stroll downtown.
And Main Street really does look really pretty.
Yeah,
right
it does.
Really
starting
does.
With the lights
yeah.
and the trees.
There's some of these storefronts are
really,
they're getting into it. They're taking it for real. It's worth walking down there.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a special shout out to Ken and Safathia. I think those two are using social media to promote the city far and away better than just about any other politicians. No slight to any of the other politicians, but Ken has been going. He's really been prolific, and
Safathia. I would disagree. Not as good as Donald Trump.
No politics.
No politics zone.
The effectiveness of politicians using social media.
I got yelled at.
I didn't say good or bad. I just like from a social media standpoint.
You know, there's a baseball.
If we don't cut it off right there, it just spirals out of control. So just let it go.
I apologize.
So we've got this window holiday contest going on.
There we go.
And you can
nice segue. Well done.
You are able to vote for your favorite. There are 5 different categories of businesses. And if you go onto Facebook, there's a Facebook page called Gloucester Holiday Window Contest, and you vote for your favorite. And it's just really bragging rights. The winner will get a certificate and. The contest itself goes till December 20th, which is the night of Men's Night. And
yes,
that's
Men's but, Night.
Men.
There is a Woman's Night, though.
Carrie, can you tell me what the Facebook page was again for people to go
vote? It's Gloucester Holiday Window Contest.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes so people will vote.
It's so funny how the ladies' night is early.
It's so late.
The men's night is so late. They didn't plan it because that's when men shop, right?
We went down Main Street last night.
I typically shop in August.
The scene was beautiful. Not only the lights, but the stores.
I think he does shopping.
And unfortunately, the person behind me wasn't very happy with me. I was going a little bit slowly. And, you know, I think, again, it's the New York plates. But they saw it, and they just kind of put the horn on a little bit, like, you know, there is a gas that's on the right. But I was like... So, of course, I put my window down, and I was pointing at things, pointing at some of the stores to let them know I'm here to look at that, which I was, but...
Feel free to do that, but why don't you park and then walk instead of using your vehicle. You can take all the time you want.
The New York way.
There's 25 miles an hour down Main Street. Go 25.
So again, today we have Santa coming to town.
She's doing a great job. <My God. laughs>
She's so focused. I want to explain something. She's focused not because she's trying to get past him. She's got better things to do than being here with a bunch of schmucks in here.
This is it. This is the highlight of my day here. So here we go. So we got the contest. You can vote until the 20th. Today is the parade and tree lighting starting at 3 o'clock.
We'll be there.
Today's the parade?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the tree lighting with Santa and
cast of holiday delights. We'll be there. Mrs. Claus is coming.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Mrs. Claus, Safathia, we're riding together. So, we're going to be on the judges.
Great.
Nice day for it.
And accompanying, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, believe all the emails I got. It's raining. going to stop. It's going to stop.
It's warm.
What else you got, Carrie?
So yeah, on December 4th, which I believe is Tuesday. Is that right? I don't have a calendar for me. But the,
that sounds right.
We had word that the lobster trap menorah, is going to be lit at 5:45. So that's it's not a chamber event, but it's a community event happening. December 6th is Ladies Night downtown. December 8th on Saturday is the Middle Street Walk, and that will be the lobster trap tree lighting. And that starts at the walk is all afternoon, all day, but the lighting is about 4:30. And then we have on the 20th here in Gloucester, the Gloucester Division of the Chamber Christmas Party at the Chamber, so you're all invited.
Big event.
At the Chamber?
Yep, from 5 to 7 on the 20th.
Be careful.
And that's also men's night.
Be careful with studying that in the table.
The 20th is also men's night and the end of the holiday window contest that we spoke about. And then in Manchester, by the sea, we've got the holiday stroll is Friday, the 30th. It's next week, or this coming Friday, actually, 4 to 8. They have a pancake breakfast on Saturday at 7 Central. Santa arrives by boat at 1 o'clock. And on December 2nd, they do the lighting of the tree downtown in the Christmas concert right on the town green. And Rockport has 3 weeks of stuff going on, but the highlights there. Friday, this coming Friday, is a holiday shopping night. Then on Saturday, December 1st, Santa arrives by boat and the tree lighting at 4. They've got on Sunday the holiday home tour. Actually, all of this is posted on our website, and I'm going to email this to you.
Can I ask you a question? So with that flyer that you have in your hand,
yeah.
Is it, can you send... Can you make a flyer just like that so I can make a post out of it?
Yeah,
nice large font.
Yes.
That'd be great. I'll put a separate post with
okay.
that. Because that's a great infomercial for happenings. So yesterday we went to that BC game, but we were racking our brains with trying to I want to do something cool with the kids, and it was kind of like an in between day between. You know, next week it seems like a lot of stuff kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
This graphic will be a great thing for people to know where to go. I want to highlight, out of all those things, December 8th, the Middle Street Walk, there's 20 or 30 different locations all doing cool stuff that day. It's if there's
amazing,
one day where you block off for the family, December 8th, the Middle Street Walk and the tree lighting to cap it all off at the end of the night is a great time.
It's a great day.
We're going to be there this year. It's the first time. Normally, I've never been to the Middle Street Walk because I'm always working that day because we have the show opens the following week. So we rehearse all day, but we were invited. It's a Victorian theme this year.
Oh, I saw that.
And
aren't you guys going to be at the Sargent House?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're going to kick off the day. I'm bringing the Little Women cast from the show, because we're doing Little Women this year, and we're going to do the Little Women scene from...
In the Sargent House.
In the Sargent House,
so
yeah.
Fun.
So it's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
And we're going to make... The girls are going to enter through the long staircase, and we're going to kick off the day. So between 10 and 11, we'll be performing 10:15, 10:45... And then everyone's going over to the theater, and we're going to rehearse until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. We're going to make it up on the other end.
Beautiful.
So, So I'm really excited.
It's a great day.
And that's the Maritime Gloucester Deck the Dock.
Yes,
Deck the Dock.
Who just moved here, what's this Middle Street Walk?
So Middle Street Walk, all along Middle Street and downtown, all the churches... The City Hall is opened up. Cape Ann Museum is opened up. And there are carolers, gingerbread house contests.
Each one of the churches does a little musical program.
Musical programs. And it culminates with the lighting, a countdown, and a lighting at the lobster trap tree that's all lit up and adorned with the wonderful, beautiful... Fair Children of Gloucester's handmade buoys, as opposed to the Rockland, Maine
Chinese
adorned, built by inmates
in Maine's federal prison system.
Yes, the horrible generic tree up in Rockland, Maine, as opposed to our beautiful,
the outstanding tree.
Yes.
Handmade by
That's children. True. That's true. Speaking of lobster trap tree, Bex just coincidentally, 5 minutes before the podcast started, showed up with one of her handmade miniature lobster trap tree.
Isn't it beautiful?
Things for Pat. Pat purchased one.
I did. We needed a tree for the apartment. So,
this is why I have to put my kids into one of these jobs where at the end of the job there's a nice pension. So that you can afford to buy one of Bex's.
That's true. That's not bad advice.
One of Bex's lobster trap. It is gorgeous. The first thing Ralph said when he saw it was, he didn't even ask the price.
He offered me $500 for it. Did you hear that?
No. Let's ask Kim the negotiator.
I told you what I
asked. Kim will be giving them away.
I said I have to buy that for my wife because she'd love it. So.
Yeah. It's a present.
That wasn't the real reason why. The real reason why. Tell them what the real reason why you wanted the mini lobster trap tree that's lit up.
All right. Truth be told was I figured if I came home with that mini lobster tree, I wouldn't have to buy a real tree and put lights on the real tree. Maybe my wife would let me get away with just a lobster tree. But I think you may have blown that.
She doesn't listen, Ralph. She doesn't listen.
She does. She does listen to the podcast.
I blew his cover. It is. They are gorgeous.
Beautiful, yeah.
And there's all lights inside. Is it battery operated?
No. Yeah,
no, you have to plug it in.
You have to plug it in, but the lights have controls under here. So they flash differently. The colors are different.
They're really
cool. There's a
control
under here.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
She did a great job.
All
she really
handmade.
Did.
Yeah.
So it takes her a week to build each tree.
She also sells each one of those lobster traps, and Kim took a picture, so we'll put it in the show notes. Each one of the traps are hand bent, and she puts the little they're called gangens, the ropes on the end of the traps. That's what attaches each trap to make a trawl. The little loop gets attached. But so congratulations to you, Pat, for getting that.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
And you turned a profit on it.
Yes, I did.
Purchasing it from you.
Flipping lobster trees.
That's right.
Speaking of Pat Dalpiaz, I have an assignment for you.
Okay.
I know you like my assignments when I
give
them to you.
I do, and I have an update.
Okay, fantastic. But first of all, the Joan of Arc, Mark, he actually asked me not to say his name. Someone that I know told me that he had heard in years past that the Joan of Arc statue was dedicated in the year 1920 or something? Or 100 years,
I'm
close to
say it might be 18 because...
1820 or whatever. But there's supposedly a time capsule buried underneath there.
Oh.
But no one talks about the time capsule, but it almost coincides with
the
400th. So... The idea, what we would like to, your research
Inquiring
to tell us,
minds wanna know.
Is if there is a record of there actually being a time capsule underneath there, and
excellent.
What they may have said in the proclamation about the opening of the time capsule.
Okay, I actually
wouldn't
already,
that be really cool?
Yes, it would be, and I already have the original Joan of Arc newspaper article when the statue was dedicated I'm thinking it might be. 1918, because I was going to do a post about it, but it got by me, so I've got a lead at least. I've got a start on it when statue was first dedicated.
You wanted to mention the library people, how
yes,
helpful
oh
they
Yes, oh my gosh. I had an interesting experience this week. I had made an order to a large retail bookstore whose name I won't mention, but it's the name of a river, so I'll call it the Nile Company. And the book...
We'll tell you later, Joe. I see smoke coming out.
I got it.
And the book, you know, I was looking forward to reading this book. I open it, and I'm like, well, it's a little raggedy. Open it up, and it's signed by the author, and it's addressed to somebody, and I'm like, I didn't order a used book. And then I'm like, it's wet. It was damp. It was all wrinkled up and everything. And I was thinking, you know what? This never happens at the library.
Yeah.
You know, and every time, and they have such a nice selection in there. And every time I go, They are so helpful to everybody that's in there. And I spend a lot of time sitting there doing my research. So I'm listening and watching what's going on, and my library background is kicking in a lot of times. And I just have to say that I know that some of the facilities or whatever at the library have gotten a little bit of a bad rap recently, but that place is an amazing place, and I have to shout out to the employees and to the facility. Nice. They really do a great job. I love it there.
Yeah, they helped us during this when we did the Simon Geller show. They helped us with some research and some things that we needed. And same thing happened to me.
Oh, did it really?
Yep, at the Nile. Yeah.
The Nile.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would also like to thank Raphael DiGiorgio from United Civil for agreeing to give up one of his bulldozers to bulldoze the statue so that we, that we can find the time capsule ourselves. He has many, many...
We can go under the cover of darkness.
At night. That
Joey
on
there. Yes, thank you. Thank Raphael. Raphael. That we'll add that to the calendar.
You know something? I'm very disappointed because I thought it was going to be a weekly feature, the restaurant review by Raphael DiGiorgio, and he came in with nothing this
week. Well, I had a restaurant that I went to last night, but you know, you didn't seem interested in it, so I kind of just, you know, kind of poo-pooed it, Joe.
I hurt his feelings. I asked him, do you have any show notes, and he said no. He wants me to beg.
But this you gotta understand.
He wants me to beg.
My dining experience is a daily occurrence.
That's true.
So, you know.
You did go to Massimino's?
No, last night. Well, Massimino's on Friday. We went to the Bruins game. Before the Bruins game, we went to Massimino's. And my wife and I absolutely love the chicken vinegar peppers with it. Ate it. And it's off the charts. But last night we went to Alto Forno, Peabody. And I had the rack of lamb with sweet potato gnocchi. I think I just received 8 oohs out of 10 people.
He said that like he was having sex with a microphone.
Yeah. So it's very.
He's
very
been known for doing that. Be careful.
But there's a lot of topics to go over today, so I didn't want to take up much time with Raphael DiGiorgio.
DiGiorgio. All right.
Joe, speaking of food, maybe I can add to Raphael's food section of the podcast. I did something a little different this Thanksgiving. Instead of having my wife burn yet another turkey, we decided to go out as a family. There was 19 of us, and we went to Topside Grill here in downtown Gloucester.
That's right. You said you were going to do that.
And it was outstanding. It was outstanding. The service, you know, you get a little skeptical when going out in those types of holidays. But they had a full staff on. Service was outstanding. Water glass was never empty. Food came out. It was hot. I had the turkey.
Yeah.
It was very good. Portion size was good.
Was everybody having a turkey dinner, or you could order from the menu?
So they had a limited menu, but they had the three staples, turkey, lamb, and ham.
Yeah, wow.
And I actually got the ham, but my son got the turkey, and we split it so I could get a little of
both. Try it, right.
But they served homemade turkey rice soup at the beginning, and, you know, price was good. And this is the second year, just an FYI, second winter that they'll be open all year round.
Yeah. Right.
So if you haven't been to Topside, you know, beyond Thanksgiving, highly recommend.
And Catherine loves going there with her boys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We bring Mia. Mia loves the meatloaf. Yeah, they got the liquor license for all
Doug Silva took over for his father.
Yeah.
And so his father always did a good job.
Yeah.
But Doug has kind of like updated it to like what the next generation of people are looking forward to. He has a lot of different kind of beers on tap.
Oh, that's great.
And that's what I was
specials.
Impressed about. Doug and his father were there.
Yeah.
So Doug came to our table at least twice.
Yeah.
Just to check.
I don't know of another restaurant in town that is as on hands as the Silva family. They're very involved with everything at that restaurant. They do.
Yeah, Doug always comes to the table. You know, he'll come and
say hi.
Talk to everybody. Say hi.
They're great people. Great family.
And for all you listeners out there, next Thanksgiving, remember, turn your lights off at 6 o'clock. We'll have 19 McCarthy's coming through your door.
It's just almost like a Halloween where you want to be the Halloween Grinch.
Keep them on if you want to invite us into your homestead. Maybe there are people out there that would like to bring us all.
The windmills will shut down.
December 5th, the third round of Crush Cancer at Tono, Gloucester. So pits Safathia versus Anthony Catarano. The seats are going very quickly. $75 a person, $85 for bar seats, and VIP tables of eight for $100 a person. It is the oven mitts are off, and they're ready for round three. Safathia the Mayor versus Anthony the Chef in the ultimate tomato sauce cook-off. Will the winner be Zugu or gravy? Come see who will crush it in memory of Christina Catarano and dedicated to Anthony Giambanco. $75 per person includes two-course lunch, dessert, beer and wine, and good laughs. Silent auction items are available. Checks made out to the Gloucester Fund will to benefit families affected by cancer. Wednesday, December 5th, 12 to 2. Put a link in the show notes.
I have been there.
Yeah, and I called for my tickets yesterday. They only had bar seats left.
Yeah.
Wow. So sell it out. Let's sell that out.
It's an awesome event. Really awesome.
There you go.
And the food is to die for.
Joe, I'm curious. Gravy or sauce?
Yeah. Zugu. No. Not gravy.
No, you don't call it gravy?
No.
No.
But of course, Anthony calls it gravy, Ralph.
Gravy goes on meat.
It all depends on what part of Italy you're from, but I am not going down that road. Again, no politics.
He's a wise man. He's a wise man. Feather and Wedge is hosting holiday parties. They have a brochure detailing all the different things that they offer, so check them out. They're at the Gloucester stage, we have our friend... New friend, Scott Karen. Karen?
Karen. Yep.
Are you related to the guy on the sports channel?
I don't think I am, but I don't really watch
Let
that
me get
sports
on that
channel.
For you.
Not so
much. Check that.
Santa Land Diaries by David Sedaris, adapted by Joe Mantello, featured on NPR's This American Life, is coming Saturday, December 1st at 7:30 p.m. You can reserve your seats at GloucesterStage.com. I'm assuming that you're in the play.
I am directing the play.
You're the director.
Actually, yes.
And what did they call out to you, or did you bring this to them?
No, they called out to me, but I've been working there all summer in their apprenticeship program as a directing apprentice, so assisting on every single show over the course of the season.
Where did you go to school?
I went to the Hart School for Musical Theater at University of Hartford.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. That's a great school.
A while ago. I've been acting for 5 years and I'm transitioning into, you know, that side of things.
Wow.
So we have a great, fun, sort of quirky holiday show. It's not your typical, warm, happy holiday memory. It's about the craze and sort of the rush. It's about a...
It would almost like being sitting at the Christmas table in 19... and charging in the middle of the tent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a middle-aged guy who gets a job at Macy's as an elf because he's down on hard times and he needs to make some money quick. And he realizes what he stepped into very quickly. It's told in a diary format, so...
Crazy kids,
families. Only an hour, and it's a benefit for the upcoming season. But it's a great holiday activity.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
and it's Macy's Herald Square that this guy is an elf in New York City.
Yes.
So it's not
chaos.
And it's a lot of people know. I know you know of David Sedaris' work.
Yep.
A lot of people know of David Sedaris. He's a great humorist and a writer and. It's based on his personal... He actually was an elf in Times Square.
Oh, wow.
So it's about his actual experience. And, I mean, you know, everybody. I mean, he was a performer, a humorist, an actor. He's not going to pay the bills like writing jokes when you start out. You need to do something. And so many people in New York City... I mean, Scott and I both lived
in
New York.
We've been there, done that.
Yeah, and so many people end up, you know, you're an elf. You work the toy fair, you know.
Oh, right,
and
right,
you're
right.
You're Barbie at the toy fair.
Yeah.
Or you demonstrate something, or, you know, so It's about his experiences. Yeah. So it's, you know, true to life, funny. I think a lot of characters that everybody can recognize. And then it's the star is, although Scott is talented and handsome enough to star in it. The star is Stephen Barkheimer, who was here in the Norman Conquest trilogy, which we did in 2010, 2011, and 2012. With Lindsay Krause and a host of, it's a comic trilogy about a family, takes the course of one day, and about everything that happens with this family and extended relatives, and it's kind of was based on Chris's life and dropping into. If you've experienced that, so Steve was in that. He was the comic standout. In that show, like people remember him.
See what I'm reading here, stands out to me on this flyer here is the enjoy festive libations part.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes.
It's coming. That is on the flyer. You should have bolded that part.
So, yes. There will be a reception. There'll be festive bites and festive drinks.
Holiday treats.
And there's also going to be, we're getting some local artists throughout the community, and different organizations are decorating wreaths. Mm. And for instance, you know, the Youth Acting Workshop, we're doing a wreath. Tracy Thane Corbett, whose daughter is one of my stars, she could do the Youth Acting Workshop, but she's doing a artisan wreath.
From Cape Ann Art Haven.
Yeah. Tracy Thane Corbett from Art Haven. I believe some of the florists are doing wreaths. And there's going to be a silent auction, so you can go home with a wreath for your house.
That's perfect timing. Yeah. December 1st is right on target for, you
and
know.
And they're going to be arranged. You know, we have so much stuff in our basement, so we have all these doors. So we're going to pull the doors out from the basement and do, in the lobby, doors with wreaths on them.
So people need to know.
I would love to take that picture. That sounds so fun.
Well, you
got an in, Kim. We'll get you over there.
So people need to know, though, this isn't something that's playing like over the course of a couple of weeks. This
it's
is one night only.
One night, right?
So December 1st, circle your calendars and show up. Glosterstage.com to get you can get advanced tickets, right?
Right, one night only. And you can call, too, if you want to. If you call, the box office is open 11 to 5, Tuesday through Friday. It's not open on Mondays. But you can call and get tickets, and Billy Box Office will help you. Billy Box Office. Yeah, he's also my neighbor too. So, we're gonna decorate. They're gonna be decorating the theater. I think this week, Thursday afternoon, they're gonna be decorating the theater. So
it'll be all ready for holiday delight.
Yeah. Well, our set actually, as we speak right now, they've just started to build our set over there. So I'm going over. But Scott is great about sharing the space. He's gonna borrow some Holiday Delight stuff.
Great. Nice to meet you, Scott.
Nice to meet you.
Scott directed in the Young Playwrights Festival this summer, too. I mean, he assisted on all the professional shows, but most importantly, he directed Colby Taramina's play in the Young Playwrights Festival this year.
Oh, awesome.
So,
very cool.
He's really been great. So I hope he sticks around.
For more information, GlosterStage.com. The 2018 Bowie painting dates. Kim got this information for us, and she has a post going up this evening.
Going up tonight.
Is starting Monday, January 3rd, and it goes through
December 3rd. You said January.
I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
December 3rd, and going through the 5th, at all the different schools, the kids will be painting buoys, and the open day is going to be January 1st, same day, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Go to Art Haven.
December
1st.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, that's
sorry.
Yeah, no.
December 1st.
Is it written? Did I write it correctly? Yeah.
December 1st, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., if you have a child. Okay. I did this with my kids when they were growing up.
They
still talk about it. Yeah. It's every kid loves. They love going to Art Haven. They love the process of designing their own buoy, and they love seeing it up on the tree and finding it on the tree.
And they love it at the and then there's the big auction. And there's the auction,
which is their biggest fundraiser of the year.
Right, and the and
is
the kids.
Is it just for kids?
No, adults can do. I mean, adults can paint buoys as well.
Yeah, and let's do a drink night. Paint your own buoy.
Yeah, Chris will have X-rated buoys.
I'll have boobies. I mean, boobies.
A lot of really.
They need the only problem with that is you. They need you to have a do a Corey check, and that would be you'd be out.
No, isn't that up in 10 years? Because that was last month. I think I'm clean again.
A lot of really well-known Gloucester artists paint them as well.
Yeah. So, Joe, it's not just for kids. Yeah.
No, right. There are some great ones. Jeff Weaver usually does one.
Oh, my
one.
God, yeah.
We should paint.
Right, let's have a buoy paint.
That would be fun.
Chris, you're in charge.
I was going to say something, but I'm not into this kind of scene. Like an adult themed.
They're all primed and ready for...
Like, everywhere you turn now, like, these parents, these adults are having these, like... Naked kind of like.
Wait, who?
These
what?
Things happen. Did you hear that?
What color is the front door, y'all?
I'm not into that. For the record.
Time out. Continue with this story.
No, I'm hearing more and more about that. I heard.
You have to whisper,
I heard that there are communities within the four Cape Ann communities that have.
Like the old-fashioned, like, swingers?
Yes.
Every town has that.
Oh, yes.
Really? Every town has that.
God.
You sound very informed about this.
I've heard.
Pat's on it. You're going to do some
research.
I've heard about this.
This exists.
Other communities.
It's in our midst.
Those communities are thriving.
It's all rumor. It's theory. I don't know how much of it I believe, but I think it's possible.
Joey, you just got your soundbite.
I would never partake in anything like that.
Ralph and I are going undercover. Let's go.
See, you appoint the Pat to do the research, but I think you would be more well-suited for this.
We're going to do behind the scenes. We're going to go right into the battlefield. We're going to give ourselves up.
Take one for the team.
we're going to take one for Good Morning Gloucester.
Just wear protection because I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be responsible if any airborne illnesses come your way.
Boy, this
went south. Segway.
Didn't take much.
It's nothing like the holidays in Gloucester.
Joe, I just wanted to do a quick public announcement.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, Joe.
A quick public announcement because I know with the holidays coming up, Advil, ibuprofen is our best friend. So I was here at Joe's place earlier in the week, and I had a bit of a headache. And I've seen this jar or container of ibuprofen on his desk for the last 100 years.
Are you going to talk about the expiration?
Yeah, the expiration.
Yeah, so the expiration date is January of 2009.
Oh!
2009.
Oh, my God.
Walgreens, $19.99.
How many? How many?
1,000. 1,000 capsules. I mean, this thing is an antique.
You don't really
how many
do
you think are left in there? Take a guess, wild guess, how many is left in there?
I'm afraid to freaking open the thing. But I would like everybody during this holiday season to go into their medicine cabinets and remove all of their expired medication because it's very dangerous, Joe.
But don't flush them down the toilet.
Did you?
Don't flush them down the toilet.
Did you take some?
What happens if you flush them down the toilet?
It's really bad for the environment.
The water system. But there's medication drop-off.
Oh,
there
are.
They
do.
But what happens if you put a handful of ibuprofen down the toilet?
Is that cotton since 2009 too?
That's a feminine product.
This is about 150.
We needed to. I didn't want it rattling around on the desk when taping the podcast, so I stuffed a little.
So we're gonna start a GoFundMe page for Joe to buy him a new.
This is so old. It says you read it wrong. You must not have had glasses on. It says Walgreen, not Walgreen. So it must have been the first.
Yeah, there must be. Christ, we should put that in the Cape Ann Museum.
Do you want me to tell you why you don't flush medication down the toilet?
Sure.
Okay. So think about what if
the plovers. We're going to get around to the plovers.
Think about what would happen if everybody flushed their medication down the toilet, which is what has happened. And so it affects the things like hormone levels build up in the water table, and then frogs are born with like three arms, you know, mulch, all kinds.
Lobsters,
you know,
become blue.
Right. It affects everything. Blue. So it's really a true thing. It's not like
I'm not going to advocate for flushing the medications down the toilet. But this is of my thinking. The handful of capsules that I had here since before 2009 are not going to affect the spotted salamanders.
Yeah, those aren't active anymore.
Yeah. You
should take them to the drop-off centers. Yeah. Take all your unused medications, put them in a Ziploc bag, and take them to the drop-off.
But Joe, you can still put your Viagra down the toilet. Because that's doing wonders for all the fish. And
it's helping with the population.
The fish are rebounding. They've spent millions upon millions of dollars trying to figure out how to bring them back. Ralph DiGiorgio, in 10 seconds flat, so
we can tear down that institute now. The Good Morning Gloucester
the GM,
Institute.
The Good Morning Gloucester Institute. Yep, yeah. Across from the Crow's Nest. That's right.
Our new
headquarters.
GMG exclamation point.
That's right. All the endangered species now are gonna make a comeback because of Joe's Viagra down the toilet.
Kate would be very upset, though. Kate, you said that there's three snowy owls. Yeah. Did I say Kate? Did I call you Kate?
Yes. Yeah.
Kim. You're off there.
Joe, you need to get out of my chair now.
Take that headset off of him.
Take a pill, Joe. Take a pill.
This is interesting.
Kim.
Joe's busted.
Three snowy owls at Cranes Beach.
Yeah, there's three there now, which there was one.
Two, because my dog ate one.
No, there's three.
My dog ate, sorry.
There's a beautiful female. There's a male that has just so much white on him. He's an older male. He's beautiful. And then there's somebody. There's one that I can't really tell which one. It's male or female. But they're there in the dunes, and it's, you know, you have to really trek out there to go see them. But it's wonderful to see. So I don't know if that's indicative yet if we're gonna have any on our back
eruption.
Shore. Yeah, I don't know yet. And also, I haven't read
anything. It's called an eruption.
Right. You find it.
Yeah,
it's
with an I. Eruption, not eruption. It's eruption with an
not
I.
Not erection.
They typically end up on the back shore.
Eruption.
Well, hopefully, we had a very famous one last year.
Yeah.
But that was a little unusual because that one was so tolerant of people and it stayed for several months.
I bet you that there was just a ton of
rats
coming out of, you know.
If you get a heads up if they're coming to the back shore, let me know, because last year I missed a great opportunity. This year I'm going to set up a sausage cart because there were 10,000 people that just parked their cars on the side of the road. You could have made a fortune.
Yeah. It's not just it's not just rodents. Like some nights
pigeons,
would,
right?
Yeah, well no, some nights she would fly out and she would get a sea duck and come back. And then the next night it would be a vole or whatever. And they hunt all night long. I mean they're crepuscular, so they hunt, you know, at dawn and at dusk, but they also hunt during the night at
what
night
was that
as
word?
Well.
I was just gonna
crepuscular.
Crepuscular.
You didn't know that one?
Yeah.
Really? Really, Chris? You didn't know crepuscular? Hello? Jesus.
No, it's...
you're showing me. You're terrible for Bishop Fenwick High School. Yeah. Never going to get our good name back. You didn't know what crepuscular means. Hello?
I missed that day. I got that one wrong in the SATs. I got that, yeah.
Eruption and crepuscular.
Perfect score.
Do you want to explain crepuscular?
Well, it means an animal or a species that hunts at dawn and at dusk, as opposed to, you know, strictly during the day or strictly at night. So,
well, what's the term for the strictly at night one?
Nocturnal.
Nocturnal.
And then day is diurnal. So, there you go.
And how about a urinal? Where it all goes.
Where you do not put the ibuprofen.
Yeah. And Joe, you do not use Joe's urinal outside.
You don't want to go in there. You know, I got one lobsterman.
You don't want to
go. This is a family show. It's kind of funny.
Joe, you already family show. You already blew it about 20 minutes ago.
I got one lobsterman as he thinks this is funny. So every morning, so he doesn't poop at his house.
Oh my God!
He refuses to poop. He refuses to poop at his house, and he's a big guy. So, and he's a smoker. So he comes,
that narrows it down.
So wait, no. It all kind of ties together. Oh, so he comes here in the morning. He does his business in the porta potty. And he has a cigarette while he's doing his business, and then he puts the lit cigarette butt end down into the poop with the cigarette, the smoke coming up like a mountaintop, like a flag. He does it every single day. So if you go at the wrong, if you go at the wrong time, you get this, because I don't know what the guy eats at night, but it's like a mountain.
I'm surprised he doesn't blow himself up.
And they're firm all the time. So he sticks them. So he sticks.
You gotta go take a picture, Kim. Kim, let me see.
We need that for the show notes. We need the picture.
All right. Can we edit this out? Because
this is too
That's
far.
Right at that. So just so when I go get the clip, it's right at the 1 hour mark. All right.
I gotta cancel my interview with Disney because we're definitely not gonna get on that live stream.
Yeah.
There are eagles over Braces Cove, is according to Kim.
Yes, yeah. A friend of mine photographed, I think they're coming from Thatcher Island. You told me that they're
on the move.
Island. There's two. Yeah, there seems to be
a
two.
A pair. You think it's male or female?
I don't know, because the only photos I've seen, they're, you know, friends took, and they're just little tiny black specks. But you can still tell it's an eagle from the speck. But they're there, so... I imagine that they're coming from if they're sleeping at Thatcher Island, then they're just coming over to eat. Because at this time of year, there's a lot of little water birds and around the shore.
Venturing out for food.
Whatever came of, there was some group that was looking into like putting a dock at 10 Pound Island or something.
Oh, that is still,
in the works?
That's the Thatcher Island Association. Yeah, I imagine.
Oh, wait, that's Thatcher. I was thinking of
10 Pound.
Oh, yeah, no. You know what happened with that, I think, is that Mass Audubon did a study on it, and I haven't been able to read that, but they may have decided that there was a lot of pushback on doing that.
Yeah, well, all the people on Rocky Neck, they don't want anything to happen anyway.
Yeah, I think it would be, I personally think it would be very exciting to open it up. There are.
Audubon liked it.
Yeah, there are.
Mass Audubon liked it.
Yeah, there are.
Catherine, can you dig up the report?
We had one, so you can still see the remnants. So they actually sunk a ton of money in after the 78 storm, and had it.
Can you find that? Can you highlight that?
It has recent leftover, you know.
Right, there's remnants.
Human involvement.
Right. Well, the photos, we have those black and white photos when there was a Coast Guard station out there.
But then it grew in. But I mean, after the blizzard, they got major money to set it up. So it's that to me is interesting how quickly that kind of went to disrepair and out of use in such a short
period. Catherine, can you find the Mass Audubon report and highlight the findings?
Okay. Sure.
Well, you like to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I could give it to someone else, but I thought that's in your wheelhouse.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Did I put you on the spot there?
No.
I just did.
I'm getting kickback.
No,
I feel like I'm getting kickback.
No. We like, and then the YMCA does the summer sailing program, and I think this is very cute. They hide treasure for the. The kids have to get there and find the treasure on the island.
That's interesting.
That's cute.
All right, we got that going on.
That's interesting. He turns away.
No, that's cool. That's interesting. I think that's very
good.
I reached out to you. I threw you a bone. I was saying, trying to have you involved here, and then you shit on me. What's that all about?
I brought you pie.
I brought you pie, she says.
A whole pie.
IBM.
I brought you pie. Did anybody see Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Netflix.
Did you see the scene where she...
Don't give it away, Joe. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's such a great scene with the girl with the nappy hair. Says, I gave you my pie or something. She was very hurt because she didn't... take her advances. Anybody know it? Did you ever see this?
Yeah.
Anybody see this? Remember the scene? It was like the first.
It's
on the show.
Scott watched every
episode. Did you see the movie The Help when she brought the pie?
Yeah. Oh, that was a good.
That was a great scene. She used a chocolate cream pie and she said, oh, this is the best chocolate cream pie.
You didn't see that?
The Help?
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie The Help.
No, yes. I haven't seen it. Do I have to see it? Is it a
must? Oh, yeah, I know. You need to see that scene.
You need to see that
it's
scene.
It's a good movie, though.
Do they do something sexual with the pod?
No. Well,
don't give it away. Don't give it away. You got to see
it. 308.
Your lobster fisherman played a part in it.
Yes.
All right, don't tell me. Don't give it away, because now I want to watch this movie.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Yeah.
Got to see The Help?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's a very good movie. One of the actress, who
Viola
was
Davis.
Won an Academy
Emma
Viola
Davis.
Emma.
Viola Davis.
Yeah. Viola Davis won an Academy,
Emma
I think,
Stone
for that.
And
Jessica.
The only Jessica famous Kane. Movie with a pie was the one with American Pie,
the
with the kid.
Oh, no, no. This is,
oh, this pie
this is more famous.
Far outshone, yeah.
Octavia. You'll enjoy
Octavia
it.
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia
she was
Spencer.
In it. She's the one that.
Very, very good at.
She's don't give it away, Heidi. You're dying to give it away. Don't give it away, Heidi.
I'm not giving it away.
Right. Joe's getting a little hangry or something. Yeah, I don't know what's going on this morning.
Yeah, he's
thinking about this, where the swingers are in closet.
He's going to paint his front
it
door.
It grosses me out.
When
it
he gets home.
I can't. I'm not into that. I was invited to
something.
Hey, tell us about it.
I said no. It wasn't swingers and it wasn't local. It was in college and it was with a girlfriend that offered something like that. And I said, no, I don't want any part of that.
I thought you were going to go to Chris's house.
No.
Wait, but to know that you had a...
I don't want
to
see Chris's
house.
College,
that's time to experiment,
a college friend who offered...
I had a girlfriend in college. I had a girlfriend that was still in college. I had graduated from college. And she offered on my birthday to have the girl that was that lived in the dorm room next to her to do that with me, with her and the other girl. And I liked this girl. And I turned it down because I was like,
a classy guy.
I don't
want to
like. I'm like, I'm with you. Why do I want to be with another girl too? To say like, so I turned it down. The other girl was attractive too, and I said no, I didn't want. But the part of the deal, the other part was that she would have had to go with the other girl's boyfriend on his birthday.
Oh.
And I said no. But honestly, that wasn't the reason. The reason why is because I was like, what am I gonna do here? I'm like, I just want to be focused on one girl. I don't want to.
You didn't know what to do with two of them.
And that's what.
No, I have no. I really don't have any interest in that.
We sometimes go off the rails. Good morning, awesome.
This show went off the rails.
It went off the rails 15 minutes ago.
I got workshopping at the institute.
This is what happens when Chris McCarthy shows up. Everything turns dirty.
We may have to delete.
I need to know more about that story.
All right,
really, there's not much more to tell.
We're having
after the podcast, and I'll also tell you a dirty joke about donuts.
Tell the joke.
You want me to tell the joke?
You're going to tell the joke. Tell the joke.
All right, I'll tell the joke. Okay, who's the most popular guy in the nudist colony?
Who?
The guy that can carry the most donuts. You know who the most popular girl is?
Who?
The one that can eat the last one.
All right, Blaster Cast 308. We ended it right there. It's over. Mercy.
Thank you, everybody.
Mercy.
It was a pleasure, sir.
Leg is up.